Hello and welcome to Focus on Licking County. I'm Buckeye Country. I'm News Director Dave Doney, joined today by my broadcast partner Joel Riley and our special guest Judy Dolison, President, Central Ohio Better Business Bureau.
So a lot of people do online shopping. You and I were joking and talking beforehand. My wife, we're going to be babysitting the granddaughter, so she's going to be sitting there doing a lot of her shopping online on that Friday. A lot to be worried about. I mean, it's easy to do. It's convenient, but you got to be careful.
Right. And that whole weekend, really, the Deloitte did a research on the busiest shopping days of the year. And it's really that whole weekend that we see that there's going to be a peak in shopping, that last week in November. So it will be online and in retail stores. But the online shopping is always one of the biggest scam types we see at BBB. There's so much opportunity for retailers to, you know, have false ads, or scammers to have false ads on social media that pull you into a false website that looks real. We used to say a long time ago, look for those spelling errors and look for, you know, a poorly designed website. That is not the case anymore. They're very professional looking, and they really can mimic well-known brands that we buy from all the time. So you really have to be careful. Look at those URLs. We say this all the time. They're great at just putting a little dash or a dot into a well-known brand's name, goes to a completely different website, and you're purchasing from a scammer. Or look for the HTTPS. That S stands for secure, and that means it's safe to put your payment information in it. If it's not, there's no S in the website URL, you do not want to put any type of credit card information in that website. Mm-hmm.
I'm staying with the credit cards real quick, because I think we've talked about this before. My son's an IT guy, and he's always saying, Dad, use a credit card when you buy something. It's a little bit Is that true, Judy?
Yes. Most financial institutions have some kind of recourse if you have a problem with your purchase. So sometimes they're able to stop the transaction from happening if you notify them soon enough. And sometimes they have some type of credit that they can issue you back if it is not as advertised, or if it's a scammer, if they get to it in time. So payment methods that are like debit cards or wire transfers, or even some of the peer-to-peer platforms, are really the same as cash. So if you give it away, it's hard to ever get it back.
Mm-hmm. And is it usually the scammers, are they just going for that one-time hit?
No.
Or is it they're trying to get your information so they can keep milking?
Yeah, not necessarily one-time hit. I mean, obviously they want the one-time hit, but we see more and more of this relationship building to try to get more and more out of you. One thing we see with scam websites is you make that purchase, and so you've given them your credit card, you've paid the money, but then they send you an email that your payment didn't go through. So you make the payment again. Maybe you think, oh, there's something wrong with my credit card, or it's at its max, or so you give them a different credit card. So you've paid for it twice now. So they find ways to double down and really try to maximize that opportunity. And they know you're a live person, and they know that they have you. So they really want to get the most out of you that they can.
Yeah. And they must be successful, else they would not keep doing it.
Right. Oh, so, absolutely.
So what's the recourse? I mean, because, you know, like if you use your credit card, like Dave said, and, you know, there's like, okay, we're going to take care of it. It's a fraudulent report, so you get bonus back.
Yeah.
But, I mean, are there people actually going after the scammers? I mean, is that something that's being pursued, or is it just like, that's just shrink and we're just writing that off?
Yeah, no, the federal government's going after them, and, you know, we see it on a state level too, but they are great at just reinventing themselves, right? So they have great phone numbers that they use that look like, you know, they look like a legitimate number that you might be calling, and then if you report it as a spam number, they just reinvent the number. So they're always one step ahead, trying to reinvent themselves to keep keep that connection going. So, it is pursued by the authorities, but unfortunately, they're really good at what they do. It's a business for them.
And you guys have the scam tracker, correct? So, I mean, how does it? I've always wanted to ask you this. How does that work? I mean, is there you or somebody else at the BBB going, all right, here's another one we got to add, here's another one? But how do you keep that updated for folks who go, well, wait a minute, I'm going to check that, because I know I've used it. I mean, how do you keep it updated?
Yeah, so we don't update it, actually. It is a self-reported tool. So when someone is a victim of a scam, or if they've just been targeted, even if they haven't fallen for it, they can report that in the scam tracker. I think it's about 60% of the visitors to the scam tracker are reporting a situation. And then the 40% are like you. They're mm-hmm. researching to see, is something I'm not sure about really maybe a scam? So individuals report it. It's a great way to notify, you know, your neighbors, right? To let them know this is happening in our community. And then obviously it's also a great tool. There's keywords. You just type in a few keywords. You can search by any geographic you want. So if you want to search in Central Ohio, if you want to search by your zip code, if you want to search for something in Seattle, Washington, you can. It's all there. You can just select your location and a few keywords to identify the type of scam you're looking at.
So you said 60% of the use is people reporting scams?
Reporting scams. And the rest are... So everyone that goes to the Scam Tracker website, we're tracking, you know, what they're using it for. And roughly 60% are using it to report. Yeah.
Wow. I mean...
I would have thought it would have been the other way or even more so. Just people want to check. But that's eye-opening.
I mean, it's at least trying to say, like you said, trying to warn folks, look, watch out for this. Because I'm telling you, I almost went down that rabbit hole. And you want to make sure folks do that. Here's another thing. And Joel always talks about clickbait. And you and I were laughing. I was on a reputable site last night. And I saw this 25 gifts for, you know, for the guy or woman who has everything. So you start clicking on that, and there was nothing wrong with it. I mean, I was checking out the list, but you got to be awful careful too, because you could click on something there and then it takes you somewhere.
Right. Social media ads and just, you know, regular display ads that pop up on your computer, those can be legitimate, but sometimes they are taking you to a fraudulent website. So those are exactly what you need to watch out for. We always say, you know, if it's a well-known brand that this ad is about, just go to that, type that in the URL, go directly to that website. Don't follow that link. It's always best not to follow links that you get from unsolicited emails or texts or even in social ads or display ads. And if you do, just really look at that URL again. Mm-hmm.
And it was good. Funny you brought that up, because as I was reading this article, they would have the link to the business, like just pick a number, REI, outdoor retail. They had where if you wanted to continue to read and they want you to go there to look at their sales. I get that. But I mean, at least you knew you could go there and go, okay, this was legitimate, which made it nice.
Yes, exactly. Yeah.
People are going to be out in the store shopping as well. Right. What are some of those things that the BBB reminds folks about when you're doing any day shopping, because things are so rushed, so hurried?
Right.
What do you need people to know?
Yeah. So we have a whole site. Part of our site, our holiday headquarters, that is devoted to just holiday shopping. And some of the tips that we have on that website is, you know, you want to kind of plan your visits, because there's so many promotions and sales around Black Friday, and some are maybe just limited hours and some are the whole day. So you really want to know, you know, what items you're looking for, kind of do your research in advance, know what retailers you want to visit, look into what their promotions are, if there's certain restrictions on the item or on the timing of the sales. You want to know that all in advance so you can kind of plan your day. We also say, you know, if you're buying gifts for Christmas, that's, you know, about a month away. So check those return policies. You don't want to give an item that you don't give away for a month, and then there's a problem with the item.
Never even thought of that. That 30-day return could be, could be gone before you even get it.
Right.
Holy mackerel.
Yeah.
What a great tip.
Right.
What a great tip.
And if you have a warranty, like if you're giving away electronics or something, if there's a warranty information, you want to pass that along too with the gift. Because, you know, if there's if there's a problem, you want to make sure you have all that to the receiver of the gift as well. So it's always good just to do your research, you know, plan ahead, know what specials are out there. Sometimes there are specials that are given through email. If you are on a store's email distribution list, their newsletter. So if that's a store that you think you're going to visit, that might be something you want to sign up for, just to kind of get a heads up on what specials they have. They might have some extra discounts for their newsletter.
Mm-hmm. And we talked about Black Friday, and then of course you have Cyber Monday. We talked a lot about that. But here's the thing I want to get with that is, be careful where you have packages delivered. These guys here get mad at me, because during this time of the year, everything under God's green earth is coming here, Judy. I mean, I'll come in. Honest to God, yep. I'll come in here. It'll be might be 5-6 boxes oh, wow. in my office.
And I work no Saturdays, and I mean, there's even been package deliveries on Saturdays. Oh, wow, they're out there wow. banging on the door. It's like, I'm the only one here. Relax a minute.
And I mean, none of them are mine, but I've told the family because we got hit once. Yeah, I'm like, forget yep, it. It's yep, not worth it for
that's
me.
That's right. Yeah.
Find some way or somebody to help you out because, you know, yeah. they're out there all the time.
They
but
are.
Boy, oh boy, you're going to yeah. see strange cars going through neighborhoods right. here coming up.
Yeah. And there's a lot of options, really, when you think about it. Like you said, if your employer mm-hmm. is willing to have you have your packages delivered there, that's great. Or a trusted neighbor or a family member that can have your packages that is home during the day. But there's also Amazon is one. Other retailers have garage delivery where you can give a passcode to put your item in the garage so it's out of sight. There are lockers. Some retailers have lockers or have partnerships with other brick and mortar stores where they have packages delivered. So we always say sign up for, if you're going to have it delivered to your porch, sign up for that tracking so that you know. So if you are close to home, you can, you know, run by and get it so it doesn't sit on the porch for very long. And if it's a really sensitive package, you might want to have a signature required so it's not delivered and left on your porch unattended.
Yeah, the tracker thing, I know all about that because it'll be 8 o'clock at night. Ding, 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 ding. And my wife's at her phone going, oh, it got delivered. Oh, that's
right?
not. I'm
yeah.
like, well, and sometimes you order something like at 8 o'clock at night and it shows up like at 3 in the morning.
Yep.
Because,
yes.
I mean, those delivery guys are working all
Amazing.
The time.
Amazing. I yeah. know.
All the
it's
time.
It's crazy.
All right, heading into the holiday season, a lot of folks looking to pick up some extra money to help yeah. pay for things. Folks looking maybe for a side job or, as Joel likes to call them, a little side hustle. You yeah. got to be worried about those as well with those scams for yeah. holiday
right.
job scams.
Yeah, they increase. Those seasonal jobs increase during the holiday season. So and that opens the door for scammers again. They always take advantage of those trends and, you know, seasonality. And so with employment scams, what we see is that they're usually online jobs, you know, remote jobs where they offer really high pay for like minimal work, which, you know, kind of the too good to be true kind of kicks in there. But a lot of times what they ask for is some type of upfront payment as you're starting your job. So either it's to buy training materials or supplies for the job. They sometimes will send you a check and they'll say, this is to cover your training materials. You go ahead and purchase it, cash the check while you buy your training materials from a website that they give you. Mm. And then you cash the check and it's not a good check. So, you know, so they get that money up front. And sometimes it can be more nefarious than that. It can actually be like we see it with shipping scams where they're actually, you're kind of the middleman shipping counterfeit or stolen merchandise. So it can actually have a whole nother much darker side to it. Yeah. So those work from home scams with really high pay is sometimes, you know, you want to watch out for the red flags.
What do you do then? I mean, okay, let's say I'm listening to this and somebody says, well, I could do some little work from home.
Yeah.
What should you do? Is
yeah.
it just simply go to your site? What do you got to
yeah.
do?
Yeah. So look into the company that you're speaking with, right? Or that you think you're speaking with. So if it's a well-known name and it's someone that has a website, you can get on their website and look in their career section. If they have the job listed, that's a good sign. Mm-hmm. If they don't have the job listed, that's a red flag, right? If it's a legitimate company, they're probably going to advertise their own job on the career page. We also see they sometimes pose as recruiters. And so get on LinkedIn and make sure the person's name matches the company name and all the details that they're giving you, right? So kind of confirm that who that recruiter is. We see this a lot of times. They'll want to do interviews, but want not turn on the camera. So it's all very, it's a remote job, a remote interview, but you don't see the person. That's a red flag. You know, typically a legitimate company is not going to have this kind of
clean
desk.
The gray face.
Yes, right. Exactly.
Here's my avatar.
Right.
It's
yeah.
Gray man.
Right. Right. Yeah. That's always a red flag. And, you know, we say trust your instincts, right? If yeah. these things all are happening, that's, you know, usually a good reason not to pursue it. Sometimes they'll even ask for like a payment just to complete an application or do the background check or something like that. All those upfront payments is really the kind of the p- pinnacle of what we see with these employment scams. So be on the lookout for those.
You've been listening to Focus on Licking County on Buckeye Country. I'm News Director Dave Doney. I'd like to thank my broadcast partner, Joel Riley, and our special guest today, Judy Dolison, President and CEO of the Central Ohio Better Business Bureau. And as always, I'd like to thank you for listening. Have a great day.